Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Anymore.
It's a celebration. Everyone, as you may not know, but it was Ashley's birthday just recently. Her first step out of teenhood.
Yeah, I'm 20 now. I've been having an existential crisis, pretty much. I'm not ready. I'm so used to being a teenager, and I love being a teenager. And I don't know. I don't think I'm going to age well if I'm already freaking out at 20.
So for those who are approaching those years or turning 20 as well, what advice would you give them?
I would say you're going to turn 20 whether you like it or not, so you might as well embrace it. It's only been day two, but I'm slowly starting to embrace it and realize, you know, what's the alternative to not aging? It's death. So you might as well enjoy it and just know your best years are to come. And Star was also telling me, like, the 20s are your best years. So there's still a lot to look forward to.
Well, if you were to look at it this way, 20s, people are giving you responsibility. They feel that you can handle it, but you can still have fun.
Yeah.
So you're almost to the path of being established. But what is being established now? I mean, it's basically what you define it as.
It's true.
Ugh. But you lived through it. You got through it. You still look young.
Thank God.
How's everyone doing tonight?
Good.
Good. Is Miranda?
Mm-hmm.
Great. And we have Ashley and Miranda tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, holding
dynamic
it down.
Dynamic duo. Mm-hmm.
You guys rocked the duo last time when we had it, so you can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, listeners, if you tuned in, we did have our roundtable in regards to to the Boston Marathon and the bombing. So, of course, since then they've had many different findings, and the investigation continues.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
Go on.
And one of the most recent developments in the Boston bombing, according to The Guardian, is that Zokhar Tsarnaev, I believe I'm saying that right, had two college friends who are Kazakh who allegedly covered up some of the materials used for the bombing, and now they are under arrest and are in questioning and all that stuff. So one of
wow.
the things we're thinking to talk about is, how far will you go for your friends? Is when is there a line where you can't do something for your friends?
I mean, that certainly is very prevalent now for those who are either in high school or college and
mm-hmm.
coming towards, if you're a senior in high school or senior in college, friendship may be continuing, may not be continuing. Things are not the same when you go to college. The first year you come back, it's still fun, you miss them, but you're beginning to start your own life.
Yes. What would you do for your friends, Miranda? Do you think that you can cover up, you know, an attempt to kill people for your friends?
Well, I would definitely try to help people who are close to me in any way possible, but there's definitely a line. Like, you don't want to go and break the law for somebody, especially if it's something this serious.
Hmm. What about you, Star?
I mean, that's really deep. like Miranda said, you have to draw a line. You have to have some sorts of sensibility, knowing, all right, I'll do this for them, but is it hurting them or is it harming them? And you can use those type of analyzation tactics for basically anything. If you're a true friend, you're going to tell mm-hmm. them no. Or if you're a true friend, you're going to tell them you're going the wrong path and, like, you need help. But sometimes it's hard to just
say no.
Say that to one of your good friends, especially if you've known them for your entire life, that they're almost like a sibling. But I think that those are the type of things, like how you're saying you're jumping from your teen life and now into the 20s, those type of things are the first step towards growth and growing up.
Yeah. Learning how to say no.
And some full-grown adults still haven't done that. And they
True.
Even know just because you have a number doesn't necessarily mean that you're grown.
That is true. You grow up, but you don't, you know. There's a saying, I'm butchering it right now. They're saying you can grow old, but you don't grow up. There we go.
Oh, that's very good.
So the people you're referring to just didn't grow up yet. No.
Exactly. Exactly. But, I mean, we'll definitely keep everyone posted. And it's really great to see how everyone as the United States have come together, even if you're not from Boston, you may have a friend or a friend of a friend or just really caring about other people, how everyone has really come together and donated a lot of money and really gone there to help. And actually, it's almost it's been over a year, or not over a year, but it was some anniversary for the Hurricane Sandy, and they're going
yeah.
back and seeing how that's doing, because it's great that we're helping everyone now, but the key thing is, I think that let me know your thoughts, that with our generation and things that occur right now, we are always in the moment. So whether it's during that week or a week after or a month after, we're still in it. But then 6 months, a year, sometimes not everyone, but the majority of people, we tend to forget about what occurred. Even as far going back to Hurricane Katrina, like there are still people that are suffering. And just always keeping in mind, knowing that it's not just on to the next one. You still want to have that longevity.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like with Hurricane Sandy, as a New Yorker, I can honestly say that, heck yeah, a lot of us forgot about it. I mean, I think that that has a lot to do with the combination of most of us don't live in those areas, and
right.
then the parts of the city that are most trafficked aren't damaged really all that much, except for the seaport, unfortunately. But so the MTA restored itself. Transit is largely back to normal.
Right.
So, you know, once your sphere is pretty much taken care of, it's very easy to forget the others outside that bubble. So I can
exactly.
definitely say that when I, because I read the daily free newspapers, Metro and AM on my way to school, and when they started to bring up, 6 months since Sandy, I was like, oh my goodness, right. it was really a big, like, whoa, I totally forgot. And I do feel bad, you know, because
yeah.
it's not right to forget about things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really surprising, like, how quickly people can move on after that moment where there's, like, a good week or so where everybody is such a strong community, and then everything, you know, goes away so quickly. I mean, there's so many, I mean, look at, for example, the shooting at Sandy Hook. I mean, people don't even think about or talk about that as much as
right.
they did in...
That's true, and that's...
Sorry.
Oh, did we lose her?
I think we lost her, Miranda.
Come back, Miranda. And that's exactly what we talked about during our roundtable for Sandy Hook is, are we going to forget about it 6 months down the road? Is it not going to be in the news anymore? And now we are months down the road, and it's not really, there's still money proceeds that are being given, which is great, and helping out those families, because they certainly need a lot of therapy now.
Yes, indeed.
But thinking about some family or someone, and just trying to see what you can do to help out.
Exactly. There are tons of volunteer programs out there. You can always try to check out if local food banks need assistance, or, you know, even if you're not religious, churches are a great place to start with relief efforts too. You don't have
yeah.
to go there for the religious aspect, just for the aspect of going down, giving out clothes and supplies. And any hands are good hands, as long as they're not touching people inappropriately.
That's true. Certainly, any hands are good hands. So for all you high schoolers or even seniors in college, that you're approaching the end of the year, actually here in the Georgetown students, have one more week of exam period, and then they are finished. So it's still down the path, but when you come to that point, how are you going to prepare mentally? I know it's in the future, but now, looking forward, how do you think you're going to prepare?
Is that addressed to me?
Yes.
I needed school to be done 3 months ago, so I am totally excited for, the one thing is that, we have finals very late. Like, usually finals are like the 17th, 18th, 19th, like my finals are on the 22nd and 23rd of May. So, luckily I have a week before finals to just like relax and study. So I think I'm going to take that time to just read up and review my notes if they still make sense. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's my plan of attack. I don't speak for everybody, because I'm one of those lucky people that don't have to study.
Okay.
I have very good memory, but I usually take the time to just relax and center myself. But it's all about knowing the person that you are. Like, if you know that you're receptive to taking notes and then reviewing them, if you know you're receptive to flashcards, if you know you're receptive to just even doing internet research about something, do that. You know, yeah. my method is really just relaxing and glancing over stuff, but that's what works for me.
Yeah, those are certainly great tips, because I know a lot of students are coming to that stress mode because you have exams. If you're a senior, you have to think about, well, most people will know what school they're going to go to, but if you haven't, what school you're going to go to, where you're going to go, leaving home for the first time. There's a lot of things to think about.
The most important thing for all seniors to get addressed and handled is meeting their financial aid deadline if it hasn't already passed. I can tell you from personal experience, missing your financial aid deadline is one of the most detrimental things you can do as a senior going to college. If you miss your financial aid deadline, you will not receive financial aid. It is a fact. So seniors, while you're in there trying to finish your last days with a bang, please try to make sure you get those matters handled so your transition from high school to college is really smooth on you and your parents.
Yes, that's a huge thing. And it does seem a bit intimidating just based upon all the scholarships that are out there. You don't know where to start.
Yeah.
But there's something out there for everyone. And as long as you just have an essay, of course, each question may be different, but just send it out. There's no harm in applying.
Yeah.
You never know what you'll get.
There are several great online scholarship resources, one of which being zinc.com. It's ZINCH.com, and it has tons of various scholarships for all different types of people, whether you want to go into law, journalism, or you don't know what you want to get into. They also have, I think it's a weekly one-sentence essay scholarship that's $1,000, and there's no limit. So apply every week. Write a sentence.
Ah, that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that now, especially now, compared to years in the past, there's a lot of money out there for students, whether they want to go to a community college or a four-year college or a trade school. There's ways to get into school, and there's a school for everyone. So many colleges out there, so there's no excuse. But if college is not for you, you can start with the workforce. But just the thing is getting yourself out there and trying something and not just staying home, and because you're going to feel bad when everyone else comes back and they've basically grown. I mean, after the first year in college, didn't you feel different when you came back?
Well,
when you
visited, you
came back.
I'm a commuter student, so I never had that coming and going experience.
If you're going back to high school, didn't you feel already that you were?
Oh, yeah. When I visited my high school, I felt extremely nostalgic. Because you just feel like, oh, my gosh. I think the biggest thing that teenagers feel when they look at the underclassmen when they graduated is like, ew, I was one of those. I think that was one of the most shocking epiphanies ever. Like, these loud kids who think they're so funny and think they're dressing cool and think it's cool to take up 3 seats on the bus with their legs. Like, I thought that was cool. I thought I was being cool. And now I just look back at those kids. I was like, oh, my God, idiots. And I was one of them. But, you know, it's really nice. It's nostalgic. And it's really nice seeing how students who remember you react and how teachers, the impact you've had on teachers and students and faculty and the people who remember you when you come back. And you really do feel like this outer body experience because you belong at that place, but you don't anymore. It's a really strange feeling.
Yeah, it certainly is. But it's a good feeling, and you're able to sort of look back and see all the things that you've accomplished and what more you have to go for.
Yeah.
So those are certainly the tips for now, as I believe high school is probably 4 or 5 weeks from their graduation. Colleges are approaching it fast. But just getting those little things in order, because when it's over, you don't want to have nothing prepared.
Not at all. It's not fun to scramble during the summer.
summer options, your first summer after high school, what did you do?
I worked, and I think that's some of the best advice I can give to everybody. Try to get a summer job, because you're going to need those. Having that first taste of responsibility gives you an advantage over everyone. Like, when you get to college, you're not as overwhelmed. You know what it is to have someone expect something from you. And not only that, it doesn't really ruin your summer. I mean, the best type of job you're probably going to get is a part-time job anyway. So it's 3 days a week, and you have 4 days to still be crazy and go to the beach and do cartwheels in the park, you know. But
And you can have money doing it.
And you can have money to do what you want to do. And you could be ball or shot caller, you know, if your friend is broke, you know, you can flex your muscles. And it just feels good to have a sense of responsibility. Also, what I did was I hung out a lot. Like, I just, you know, I didn't do anything expensive, though, because I'm forever broke. So, you know, I just walked around the park and soaked up the sun, went to the beach, you know. It's the little things that really make all the difference. So that's what I did. I mean, I wish I could say I was cool and I, you know, did a European tour and backpacked in the Himalayas. Some people can't afford to do that. And if you can afford to do that, do it. But that's what I did.
That's good.
Thank you.
Another option that I've heard some of the high schoolers doing during the summer.
What? Is that what the kids are doing these days? Hello?
Is Star there?
I don't know what happened. Who is this?
That was weird.
Yes. Is this Miranda?
Yeah, this is Miranda.
I don't know what just happened at all. But, Miranda, since you're a sophomore in high school?
Yeah.
What are you doing to prepare for your junior year? As you know, you have SATs, and you have to start thinking about colleges and stuff like that. So how are you mentally preparing for your junior year?
I'm not looking forward to that at all. But
why?
Because it's so much work. I enjoy sophomore year and freshman year and having
Do you like time. Do you get good grades, Miranda?
Yeah.
And do you find it easy to get those good grades too?
Usually.
Oh, you're gonna be just fine your junior year, I guarantee you. Not to knock people who don't get grades easily, you know. But
they're still hard workers, which Miranda
there are hard workers who don't get, you know, the highest scores, but junior year is a big misconception. Usually people who procrastinated their freshman and sophomore year find junior year insufferable. But people who generally do well in school or at least try to do well in school, junior year is like any other year. It's just one or two weekends out of your life where you got to do the SATs. And SAT prep, you know, is a little annoying, but it's usually like an hour twice a week. You know, it's nothing crazy. And SAT, all you really need to get on an SAT, I'm not lowballing anything, but depending on your school, I think 1800 is usually solid. Like, it gets you into most schools you'd want to get to. Unless you like, are Ivy Leaguer, then you need to get at least a 2100. So it's about the pressure you put on yourself when it comes to SATs, really.
And certainly call in and let us know of any anxieties you may have for the upcoming college years, or if you're going to be a junior like Miranda, any tips that you would give us, call in at 914-338-0695, and we'd love to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Tell us your thoughts.
Another summer activity that I've heard some students is internships. I know it's hard to get around the fact that you're not going to be paid and you're spending many hours in a location or in a certain job, but experience is a very, very valuable thing, especially nowadays when the job market is getting better. The job market in the past few years was not as good, so people were going back to school. But now the individuals who had 20 or 25 years of work experience plus went back to school have this on top of the individuals who are just coming out of college. So you want to build your resume as strong as you can, and any experience that you're able to gain, it just further helps.
Exactly. And internships can be fun, and they could offer you a lot of perks in lieu of money. You can, some even offer travel stipends so you can at least get to the job. And some internships let you go to special events. Some let you go cover certain things. Some let you, depending on the field, of course, some let you go to special conferences. So, you know, there are things that you get to do that, you know, you would not get to do if you were not interning. It's not all bad.
Miranda, do you ever try to look at internships or done one?
Miranda.
We lost her again. But internships are certainly good. I did an internship my junior year in college, actually, and I got to work with the Mets, and that was a great experience. And I had a summer job my senior year after graduating from high school, working as a tennis instructor. So you can all, any interest that you have, there is jobs within that interest. Especially
exactly.
Having the internet, it's just infinite the amount of things that are out there.
And it's not just about your level of experience. It's also about your passion and your willingness to learn. Any employer taking on a high school student is well aware that you do not have experience. So do not let the fact that you don't have experience be a deterrent, because your employer does know what they're getting themselves into. They also know that you are going to be learning and that you have to learn in order to do your job correctly. So don't feel bad about yourself when you don't get something right away. Again, once your employer knows, okay, this is a 16-year-old, they know that this is a journey. So just learn, and you'd be surprised how quickly you catch on and be confident and just have fun with it.
Yeah, and that's another thing. We'd love to hear your internship or job summer experience. Everyone could compare and see the do's and the don'ts, or maybe you can give some tips just in case someone is doing an internship that you may have done in the past, or working as a lifeguard in this location, and you may be even working as a lifeguard in the same location. So it's all about the connection here on Teen Station. So as we always like to keep current with events, most recently a big headline was discussing the NBA player Jason Collins.
Yes.
He was hailed as most courageous coming out and was the first NBA player, male athlete coming out. And it has been on since he has come out on the morning news. It's been talked about for weeks afterwards. What are your thoughts about that?
I just hope that people don't get ignorant on him. And this is a man that's been a professional NBA player for, I believe it has been 12 years. And you know, I hope no one all of a sudden in the locker room is, like, afraid to, you know, always has a towel on now and is always jumpy around him. I really, really hope that people don't act stupid. I think that what he's done is courageous, but, you know, I think we're at an age where it's like, oh, okay, cool. You know, it's not this, it's not as groundbreaking, and I think that's what's significant about it, you know, that he is in a climate where he can come out with it, and it's not a weird thing, and he's not demonized. He's celebrated for it, and I think that's a beautiful thing. Respect this. Oh, I'm sorry.
You go.
No, I was just going to say, like, I just respect the fact that, you know, he's no longer afraid to be who he is. It's a very powerful statement.
That is true. I mean, especially within sports, of course, in any field, but especially within sports and especially within football, it's a man's man game. Everything's strong. You have to just basically you have that mentality of, like, being that male-dominant individual when you're playing a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we've come to a point now, possibly, where it, to some people, it may not be that big of, it's great that he came out, but it may not be, like, a shocker because we're talking about this almost on a weekly basis. We just recently were talking about the policies and the lawmaking in California and making those huge strides. So it's sort of become common within our conversation, and I think that allows others and younger people to be able to really understand why he did it as opposed to being ignorant and saying this is wrong just because my grandfather said it was wrong or... I think we're slowly stepping away from that, but of course there are still those who feel that it's wrong. But an interesting fact is the most common, like the wealthiest industry, of course, is like we have the Warren Buffetts who are in investment. The number two was technology, which is the second most common way billionaires make their fortune. Then we have media, energy, food and service, fashion, retail, real estate, and sports are the last one. However, I, in addition to watching sports, I am also a news buff, and I watch many political stations on TV, and they're also talking about it. So it's transcending not only just within a box. It's going all throughout different networks, which are not within politics, within different fields. So it just really shows that power.
Yeah, being in the public eye holds a lot of responsibility. And, you know, I'm sure that there are a lot of young men in college or in college basketball or in high school basketball and are like, oh, great, you know, I can't let anybody know that I'm gay. You know, I'll never have a future. And, you know, he's making it easier for the next wave of people who have his circumstance. And, you know, maybe someone will be able to enter the locker room first day, like, hey, what's up? I'm gay. And it's not a big deal. You know, so I really hope that over time, this barrier is broken to the point where it's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Are you coming or not? You know, like, it's just so trivial. I really hope that it gets to the point where it's not even really a topic of discussion. I think that's when we'll really know progress.
Yeah, it's certainly true. What are your thoughts when someone would say that it's great that he came out as a male? However, women, there are women who came out years ago, and it wasn't...
Yeah, like that tennis player.
Martina Navratilova. And it wasn't as large of a headline, or... we have Billie Jean or Cheryl Swoops from basketball, the NBA, WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that they made or Jason made a larger show than the women?
I think the answer is going to, like, I'm very honest, and I think it's because women are kind of, how do I say this? Women, we kind of get away with being semi-lesbian. And I don't mean that in a weird way. I mean, women could be in a dressing room together, changing with a friend, half naked, like, and no one thinks anything of it. I mean, I think it's always been that way. And Whereas men, there's such a stigma with even being, like, you know, with a top off, like, 2 inches from a guy. There's a stigma just with that. You know, there's a stigma just with, you know, gazing at a guy for too long. You know, the stigmas are so grand over the most subtle things, whereas women have always had that liberty of being free with each other and somewhat touchy with each other. And
right.
Two girls kissing each other does not garner the same hatred as two men kissing each other.
Right.
And I think that's partly because men do that to themselves. Women have never held themselves to a standard where
right.
being close with a woman is wrong. So a woman saying she's lesbian is like, okay, you know, it's like, okay, you know, women aren't going to feel weird around a lesbian woman.
Right.
You know, because it's never something that has been so big. And especially a black man, because as we all know, black men, if men have this machismo thing, black men have that to the second power,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think the fact that he's also black has a lot to do with it. And then plus NBA is a very masculine sport. There's pushing, there's fouling, there's speed. There are a lot of things that represent the male world. So,
exactly.
And gay has always been associated with femininity, which is seen as wrong in the male world. So I think all those elements have a lot to do with it.
It's certainly true.
What do you think, Star?
I definitely agree those certain stigmas. And if they're instilled because of that certain, whether you're male or female, who I guess it must be up to the males to release that certain stigmatism
mm-hmm.
to get past it. But of course, it's
mm-hmm.
easier said than done.
It is. It's going to take a long time. Even Diane Sawyer said, I think, was it Diane Sawyer? I really hope it was Diane Sawyer who interviewed this man. I don't remember. But there was someone on Channel 7 I saw interviewing. That's Channel 7 WABC in New York, by the way. Interviewing Jason Collins. Oh, it might have been George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I think it was him. Oh, my God, Diane Sawyer. Anyway. And see, now I forgot what he said that was so important. I'm so sorry. It's going to come back to me. Okay, I'm going to talk through it. He was saying something. Something I believe to the effect of. Oh, Jesus. I really think I lost it. Okay, continue with your point. I'm so sorry. I think I'll get it back.
I mean, there's certain all these ideologies that one has to handle with,
mm-hmm.
but we'll see how we get in the future. Within sports, within the financial industry, if it's going to affect, and how we feel like we said, any event that occurs, we are all about the now moment. What happens now?
Sorry, it came back to me.
You got it?
He basically was saying how you are very known, talking about Jason, that he's very known for his fouling in sports, and he's very known for always being the one to block shots. And he said, that's pretty masculine, isn't it? And I was just like, of course it is. You know, I think one of the biggest issues with homosexuality as it is perceived by society is that a gay man is feminine. And I think
right.
that's one of the biggest misconceptions, you know. There's a difference between gender expression and gender, you know.
Right, when people place people in categories, like,
yeah.
oh, if you're a certain way, then that means you're
then
this.
You must
but...
be, yeah, you must pop your hip and wear lip gloss. It's not true.
Flamboyant.
Yes.
But
which, nothing's wrong with the gay people who do that, but,
exactly.
you know, yeah.
But now as we, all these different type of ideologies that we thought were a certain way for so many years,
mm-hmm.
i.e. the president being a African-American, now a basketball player. So there's all these different things that are sort of, the definition is now changing.
Yeah.
And how do you think that affects the younger generation?
I think it's an exciting time. I think this is actually the product of what was once a younger generation. I mean, we've been so dominated by, you know, a traditional generation, you know. And now that generation that was younger, let's say people who grew up in the 80s, where these attitudes were starting to shift, and you know the mind was starting to expand. I think they're finally the ones that are getting more of a say. The median age in this country is 37, you know, and those people, 37-year-olds, come from a time where, you know, what racism? What is that really? You know,
right.
And, you know, homosexuality, okay. You know, I think we're finally starting to see that. And then when my generation comes, it's only gonna be more tolerant and tolerant with each generation. So I think we live in an exciting time. I mean, terrorism is rampant and all that stuff. But by the same token, if you put that to the side, if you just look at how society is growing in spite of terrorism, it's an exciting time. And it's a more accepting time, and people don't have to look over their shoulders much anymore.
Yeah, just recently, last week, I believe, the president had a luncheon with all the women, congresswomen and senators, both Democrat and Republican. And it was about, I believe there was like 17 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with a conversation, like everything starts, and that's beginning to go towards, hopefully, change in the end.
I hope so. I mean, it all starts with conversation. We can't progress if we don't know the full picture. Like, if we live in our bubble, we won't know what are problems in someone else's world. So I'm glad that these conversations are being had.
Exactly. You are listening to Teen Station on Blake Radio Rainbow Soul. And we definitely would love to hear what you have to say. Our number is 914-338-0695. Also, you can send us a tweet on Teen Station and an email, teenstation@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
Exactly.
So at this moment, there's definitely a lot going on. Whether you're in high school or college, and we gave you many tips on how to deal with that first summer and making sure that it is a productive summer and not just, you can still have fun, but you don't want it to waste away.
Exactly.
And, of course, the best, we just had Ashley's birthday, celebrating that.
Oh,
goodness.
We at
Teen Station would like to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
So what are your plans looking forward for the next, as a 20-year-old, what are your goals?
Sounds so weird.
That's deep.
My 20-year-old goals are to enjoy 20. I think that's really high on my list right now because, you know, I don't know why I feel the way I do. Past that, I recently
there's a song.
I'm sure there's a song talking about, you know, 20 is just fine, it'll be all right, I'm sure. Probably verbatim as well. I think what I'm going to focus most on is I spent a lot of my teenage years poising myself for this time of, you know, hopefully getting internships and being successful and, you know, and I think I want to actually just spend this year and enjoy being young while I can, because I'm starting to realize the window is slowly closing. So I think I want to live life a little bit more. Nothing crazy. I'm not going to, like, ruin my name. But I think, you know, I'm going to take life a little bit easy. I'm busy all the time, and,
yeah.
You know, I'm always sleepy. And that's not – I have my whole life to be sleepy.
Exactly.
That's about it.
I mean, that's definitely true for those of you going through that same thing like what Ashley's doing. It's building that foundation, working hard, but at the same time being able to take a step and look at that broader picture. I think that's really hard. You're always, not you, but me as well, looking at just like the next day or the smaller perspective, but the bigger picture is something that's a little bit harder to take a step back and enjoy what you're going through.
It's true, because, you know, I'm sure you feel the same way, Star, that you don't want to be 90 years old, like, oh, my God, when I was 20, I didn't do anything but work. Because now I'm 90 with a broken hip, and I want to dance, and I can't. You know, so I want to make sure that when I look back on my life, because I think we all need to realize that that's what matters. That when you sit down in your rocking chair with your glasses underneath, and you look back on your life, that you didn't do, you didn't not do what you wanted to do, you know?
Right.
And I don't want to look back and be like, oh my God, I was 20 and I was a workaholic. Like, I would be disappointed. And I think you would be too. You know?
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly. And that's what a lot of people say, is making sure now you guys, high schoolers or individuals who are going to college, you have the summer, you understand how to take your time or have fun, but when your agenda becomes busy, it's sort of hard to look back on what you used to do. So it's important now that you have that control of your schedule to make sure that you find something or some way to release. So maybe if you have a busy schedule, part of a lot of clubs or part of a lot of organizations, do a dancing class or yoga or Zumba or something that you feel like you're just at a complete relaxation mode.
Yeah. And we're not talking about underage drinking and getting high and being a little nympho. That's not what we're talking about, guys. We're talking about good, clean fun that you can look back on and be proud of.
That will help your health.
Exactly. We're not advocating any reckless, drunken, nefarious time. We're advocating good, clean fun.
Even the most successful or the wealthiest, they've always advised, or whenever I read Forbes, that you have to find something that allows you to have that release,
balance.
That breath of fresh air, that recharge.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, the balance, or else you just will start to go down an unproductive road, even though you're really busy, but you're not doing it productively.
I agree. I do feel like that. I really do find that I'm busy and I always have something to do, but at the end of the day, I'm so unfulfilled.
Yeah,
I don't spend time doing one thing that actually makes me feel like, wowza. You know, I do enjoy school, but it's school. You still have obligations and parts of school that you don't like. You know,
right.
I probably do need to take me a Zumba class or something. That sounds like fun.
I know. I just recently started yoga, and I made it every Friday at the same time. So, because that's another thing, having that schedule, because if you're like, oh, I'll do whatever your way of releasing or balancing is, and doing it on different days, you may just sort of push it aside. But
yes.
when it comes to that Friday, I know I should be at yoga at 6 in the morning. And it's something that you start to look forward to when it becomes routine.
Yeah. And what has yoga done for you?
So much. Well, first of all, it helps you feel so much more stretched out, and your muscles are not as tense. But you don't realize how tight you are until you do yoga. So I can't even imagine not doing it. I only do it once a week, but it's a 90-minute class. And it's hot yoga at that. So it's like 100-degree temperature. Everyone's just sweating and working hard.
Oh,
you don't care what you look
goodness.
Like. It's pretty intense, but it helps the blood circulation too.
Probably helps
another,
your skin as well.
Exactly. Your pores, oxygen. And I read that someone who had tooth pain or a toothache or a tooth decay that actually help release the toxin in that area, because what you're doing is with that shift in movement, you're bringing wherever that toxin is or wherever that bad blood or thick blood is, and bringing it up and down and trying to sort of stretch out or release those molecules to have that blood a little bit thinner. So there's a lot of things in yoga, but it's I mean, no, of course, no teenagers are thinking about these things, but 20s and 30s, you want to start, like we said, building that foundation, and you don't want to take care of all these, making sure that you're healthy when you're 50. You want, it's a process. You want to start it when you graduated high school, because then you're able to focus on yourself and you're more independent and you can do what you want to do. But like we talked about hygiene and skin, we had the doctor come on in January, and it's really important to think about, because you need to get mentally set for that. If you're not mentally set, it's going to be hard to get that physical mood.
It's true, guys. I mean, don't feel bad. Don't let people guilt you into feeling bad about taking care of yourself when you're in college. This is, you know, after this is up, you're going to have responsibilities, and then you're going to be looking to, like, have, you know, get married and have kids, and then you're always going to owe something to somebody. This is your chance to really care about yourself, and I say just do it. Take all the classes you want to take. I know a lot of you guys have parents who want you to be a doctor, be a lawyer, and I do understand that, and it's a family tradition, but it's your life when it comes down to it, and I really do advocate for doing what you want to do, and don't let anyone make you feel bad about caring about yourself. There's nothing wrong with caring about yourself. And I used to think, and I'm sure you did too, I used to think it was so contrived. You know, all 25-year-olds and up take yoga classes. And they all eat kale. And they all, you know, and I used to think it was so
sing kumbaya.
Yeah, like, why do these people do that? And then you get older and you're just like, oh, yeah, because I need to center myself.
Yeah.
It really does. It really, like, this, people don't do this because they're crazy. They feel like they have to. Like, people really do this because, you know, oh, my goodness. Life can just come down on you.
For a dancing class, there's one lady who I teach to. She's in her mid-40s, and she still goes out on Saturday nights to do her Latin class every Saturday. And she, that's her thing. And even though she works in a very prominent area, she works with World Bank, so you wouldn't ever really think that she would be doing this, but that's her release. That's her
secret
charge.
Life. Her double life.
But you definitely need to find that interest.
Yeah.
It'll allow you for you just really understand your sense of purpose.
Yeah, you can't be a fulfilled anybody if you always live to serve others and you never figure out what works for yourself and what makes you happy. And when you're happy, you're better to others because you're taken care of as well. Like, you don't have grudges when people ask you to do things. You know, because tell me not, when you do things for people and you never take care of yourself, you feel a little bit begrudged. Like,
and when you start keeping tabs on how many times that you've done a good thing and, oh, well, she owes me, I've done 6 this month.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know you're heading down the wrong road.
Yeah, so always try to make sure that you're fulfilled. And it does, these habits do start now. Not trying to intimidate you guys, just, you know. We're trying to give you the heads up. We learned. We learned the hard way, y'all.
Food for thought. Great food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, so like we always say, it starts with a conversation. You can even bring up this conversation with your friends and see, like, have you ever thought about doing Zumba or yoga or spinning or something like this?
You'd be surprised how many of those friends will say, yes, let's do it.
Exactly. And here in D.C., they have a great community of runners and bikers. And so if you're in an area that really is into that, you can certainly get involved very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And New York as well.
New York. If you live in a microcosm type of city, you'd be surprised, like, how many little societies there are. Like, there's something for everybody. There are, like, video gamer, underground clubs, and race car and roller derby, and boxing, and all, you know, whatever your interest is. I mean, there are people who meet up and discuss reality television, if that's what you're really into.
if you like Kim Kardashian, I'm sure there's a group of people who would love to meet and talk about
it. Oh, yeah.
And if there's not, start it. You never know.
Exactly. And this will start to ease that anxiety or stress whenever you begin to have that. You know that, all right, you're going to be stressed. You have papers. You have all these deadlines. But it's something to look forward to so you can recharge your battery.
Exactly.
Well, this has been great. It's definitely a deep conversation, and it's really good that you're able, Ashley, to help pave that path for those who are approaching their 20s or about or in their teenage years or finishing high school, what to do, what to think about, even in college if you're it's the same exact mentality that you need to go through.
Yeah, I really hope that I can help. And even if you guys don't want to listen to me, I do hope that, you know, there was something that at least made you think. You know, thought is always good too.
Yes, definitely analyzing. And as you know, this month is Green Month, how you can get involved with your community, saving the Earth, Earth Day, Earth Week. Now we've extended it too. So that's another way to get involved.
Yes, and you could start very small, guys. I'm not the best volunteer in the world, but I'm very anti-litter, and I make sure that I don't litter. When I hang out with my friends, I make sure that if they litter, I pick it up and throw it out, or make them pick it up and throw it out. So even those little things are steps towards being green.
Right, just like we said, it starts with a conversation. It just starts with one's action. So something as small as picking up your friend's trash or litter, then that will give your friend basically have your friend thinking like, oh, maybe I shouldn't, and then that change will bring upon possibly their family, and you don't know where it could take you.
Exactly. Starts with you guys, man in the mirror.
Exactly. Definitely. Exactly seems like our word of the day for this show.
Right? Today's word. Exactly.
Exactly.
Precise.
We'll see what our word of the day is next.
We should totally do a word of the day, but our commonly said word, but just a word that all you teenagers out there can go to school and use and be the smart person of the day.
Exactly. And throughout that entire show for that hour, I think we should use the word interchangeably amongst all the teen hosts.
Yes.
In some way, so everyone can truly understand, and we can help educate our audience, and they can go off and tell their teacher how much they learned from Teen Station.
Yes. Brag about it.
And this coming weekend, or next weekend, or yes, Cinco de Mayo on the 5th.
Yes. Exciting.
Which means Cinco, of course. but many things coming up for these next few months.
Mother's Day, too.
Mother's Day, yes, exactly. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I know you guys all work strong. Women are definitely being more empowered now, this generation. So they're also the biggest market currently, which is very interesting.
The month of
June is going to be Teen Station 1 year anniversary. Can you believe that?
No, I really can't, actually.
Oh, my goodness. I remember when you first started, and now you're just taking off.
Ah, Lord, yes. And I was 19. I'm going to stop right there. We didn't know what we were doing, but we just knew we had a voice and we had to use it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There it is again. We should have a little counter. But June is going to be our empowerment month, women and male empowerment. So we're going to have a series of guests as well as conversations about empowerment as a female, empowerment as a male, and what that means now. Mm-hmm. In this generation. So it's going to be very exciting. May is basically the transition month, getting ready for that summer but also making sure that you don't post too much because fall is not too far ahead and you get ready for that new year.
Exactly.
There's
Again.
Exactly.
Well, it's Precisely. Been wonderful.
There you go. It's been wonderful. Of course, an enjoying show as always, having this conversation with you, Ashley.
And with you, sir. This has been fun. Very fun.
We did have Miranda, but we probably lost her. But she's also a hard worker, and we look forward to having her back on, as well as Christine and Kendall. As we said, this April and May are basically a transition month, and many deadlines, many projects coming towards the end of the year. So we're very happy to have our teen hosts come on the show and always be there to be able to have that voice. If you're interested, email us. And if you want to be a part of the team, let us know. If you just want to have a conversation with us, let us know. You can call in at 914-338-0695. Or you can send us a tweet. We have a Twitter, Team Station, and as well as email us. Let us know. So have a wonderful evening. This is Teen Station on Blake Radio Rainbow Soul, where we always have something to say. Ashley, how can we look for you?
You can find me on Twitter at Thy Name is Ashley, or on my blog, ashleyobserves.wordpress.com.
Awesome. And we are going to not end the show with saying exactly, but
not at all.
We're going to give you some tunes to relax to, and this weekend try to see what your interest is and try it out this weekend or the summer and see what you want to do as your relaxation mode.
Good night, everyone.
Have a great night, everyone.
Kill you makes